This is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat is tactics writer and Atletico supporter Carlo Valladares. Carlo Valladares is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, in which we discuss Atletico's 1-1 draw with Elche in the Copa del Rey round of 32. The latest and greatest draw for Atletico this season saw them failing to beat a third division side. We use the Elche game as a frame to debate what is going on with Atletico in terms of tactics, in terms of personnel, in terms of coaching, in terms of everything. And is there a light at the end of the tunnel? It is at this point that we remind you that despite Atletico's relative struggles this season, they are still unbeaten in La Liga, and La Liga is where the focus shifts this weekend, with Villarreal set to make their first trip to the Wanda Metropolitano. A very difficult game, a very difficult opponent that Atletico have beaten only once in the last three seasons. Will Saturday be different? Before we continue, if you like this episode of Colt Gennaro Chat, please subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes on your favorite podcasting platform, including iTunes. If you subscribe on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It really helps the podcast's visibility. Finally, become a patron at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. If you're interested in supporting the show, being a patron is a great way to announce your support. You get exclusive benefits, including behind-the-scenes images, behind-the-scenes audio of the podcasting process, even early access to select episodes of the program. Monday's edition of the program, for example, with Rob Walker, will be an early access episode. patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Get on over there. We'll be back with Carlo Valladares after this. Yeah, so Carlo, here you are, and we have stuff to discuss, especially in light of Wednesday's, I think you'd agree, very disappointing Copa del Rey result at Elche. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the lineup.
Yes, let's do that. You want to go first?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So pretty much it was a experimental 11 from Diego Simeone. We had Sergio Gonzalez. He was, of course, he's an Atletico B player. He started at left back. We also had a Moya, who came on as a substitute in there. I think it was like the 58th minute. And Augusto Fernandez is back now, although he didn't have the best game. It's still good to see him back. Vieto, of course, is there. I missed three chances. I'm pretty annoyed at him.
Yeah.
And Torres was average. I thought Elche's back line in the first half made him look better than he actually is. But, and who else? Oh, yeah, Versalico was filled with energy, which I was happy about. He was definitely up and down. He definitely looks like he's in shape, but I've seen in terms of crossing accuracy, he wasn't terrible, but I think we have both seen a Versalico that has been more accurate in the past. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Versalico is an interesting one because, you know, he hasn't played a whole lot this season. Obviously, he had the ACL injury in March, and that really set him back because it looked like he was really about to put a fork in the debate between himself and Juanfran. I thought it was an interesting game for him. His crossing has really not been very accurate, but it looks like he's starting to regain some strength. He's starting to regain some velocity, some pace to his game, and that's what made him so much more dangerous than Juanfran for the majority of last season. It's just a matter of Simeone giving him a chance, right? Because he, I think, intentionally rested Juanfran for this, which means he's probably going to start against Villarreal at the weekend. But it's interesting with Versalico because it seems to me like the ACL injury, it's not his fault, but it really set him back. And this was a chance for him to really show that he was on the up and up, and it was a bit inconsistent from him, a bit inconsistent from a lot of guys.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's a lot of negativity around the team, but I'd just like to remind those people that we haven't lost in La Liga.
Right.
And we're still a team that is very difficult to beat. We're just not efficient in front of net, and it's getting to a point now where even Simeone and Saul have touched up on it in recent interviews, that it is building like a, it's like a monkey on their back, and it's like weighing on their minds.
Yeah, Sowell said like as much that it's giving them a lot of anxiety that they can't score. And teams now know that Atletico are going to miss chances, and it makes them elevate their game.
Exactly, and against Elche, especially in the second half, to me, when you have this type of problem on the field, that obviously it carries with them onto the training ground every day, because this is a big weakness against Elche. To me, they came out in the second half and they got very aggressive on us. And for about 10 minutes, I would say around the 70th minute mark, until the end of the match, I thought they were by far the better team.
Yeah, it looked very much like they were going to get the winner rather than Atletico.
Exactly. So it just goes to show that this inefficiency in front of net, to put it simply, is kind of taking on a mind of its own. But again, just to remind people that we're still very difficult to beat, and I think that draw against Barcelona, while Griezmann could have been more effective in front of goal in that match in the first 20 minutes, that was still a strong performance that shows the unification in the locker room is still there.
And that's a good thing, because it could very, very easily turn into a pretty ugly situation. So Simeone and the leadership of the team, which is now increasingly including Saul, the leadership is trying to keep everything together and keep everyone united and focused on the goal, literally and figuratively focused on the goal. And one player who really needs to focus extra hard on the goal is Vieto. I mean, man, 3 one-on-ones, a hat trick of missed one-on-ones. This is just, for him, it's, I feel bad for him. I really do. But yeah. I also want him to stop playing, because I know he's going to miss chances. And he's just a fascinating case study in just how damaging a loss of confidence can be.
Yeah, it was. It's kind of funny. My dad's not even an Atletico supporter, but he watches La Liga regularly, and he called me after Vieto's third miss, and he's like, "This kid is going to cost Simeone his job." But obviously, he was kidding. But it was pretty ridiculous, because you know, you from a coach's perspective, you put out this experimental team and against a team like Elche, who are a decent side, you expect to win even with your bench and your B team. But and you get these chances on a platter, and Vieto doesn't finish them. At that point, it just comes down to Vieto. Because we attacked well. We attacked with a purpose. I thought in this match in particular was some of the most offensive football from an attacking structure point of view. I mean, we had Thomas, who was more of like an attacking midfielder in this game. Obviously, against this level of a quality of opponent, I think that influences the game strategy big time. I don't see Thomas Partey being an attacking midfielder against Villarreal, or if he starts next weekend. But I liked this match because it showed that Simeone was experimental in his lineup and also experimental in his approach, and that with these type of players, it actually paid off to play more a very, very possession-based game. So Vieto just couldn't score, and we suffered because of it.
Yeah, it's getting to a point where it's absurd, really. Like, how many chances can you miss? I mean, Atletico, 55% possession, 18 shots to Elche's 10. But the shots on target were about even, 4-3 for Atletico. So before I talk more about Atletico's approach, and I warned, well, I didn't really warn, but I reminded listeners on Monday's pod that Elche were in La Liga as recently as 2 years ago. So this isn't a team that, you know, was founded in like 1999 and is just like brand new to professional football. This is a team that was mid-table in the top flight in 2015 before they were forcibly relegated. Now they're in the third division because it just put them in a tailspin.
Oh, but yeah.
This is a team that has been there before.
Absolutely. And they've retained a lot of the players that were there from the 2015 season. And right off the bat, I could tell defending wasn't Elche's strong suit. But in attack, they were pretty impressive. I mean, some players in wide areas, their 1v1s burned Versalico, and on some occasions Jimenez got isolated, you know, out wide, and sometimes Jimenez got burned too. So Elche are not a bad team, but the way we broke their back line with ease just goes to show how we should have won this match. But again, Vieto didn't finish.
Yeah, you can kind of pin a lot of it on him and his hat trick of misses. But interestingly, just a quick stat: this is the first ever draw between Elche and Atletico in, I think, 10 total matchups. This is the first ever draw after 7 Atletico wins and 2 Elche wins. So that's mildly fascinating. But
yeah.
I
don't mean to sound like a broken record.
Sure.
But I mean, given the expectation of this club as a whole and the expectation against this opponent, when you have 3 chances, you deserve to be criticized. Absolutely.
Yeah. You mentioned it was an experimental lineup and an experimental approach from Simeone. Elaborate on that a little bit, because a lot of the play looked very similar to, you know, 4-4-2, just with different names on the team sheet, and kind of the same structure, just with different names on the team sheet.
All right, it was still that 4-4-2, 4-3-3 hybrid, but there were times where our midfield, particularly like Augusto and Thomas, they took more risks.
Hmm.
And they got more involved in more advanced areas. So it was still like a 4-4-2 in possession, but the midfield got a little more disconnected from the center backs. So the way I perceived it as, it was Simeone really telling the players that they could have more of a license to find the match, find the spaces, really try to pass their way around Elche, where, you know, maybe against Sevilla or Chelsea or Barcelona, it is much more direct, it is much more individualistic, it's much more rotate combined on the flanks, and then try to get that low cross in centrally. So against Elche, you still saw that, but you also still saw players trying to pass their way through way more passing combinations than you would see against, you know, than we saw against Celta, which was against Celta, we played very much a purely counter-attacking game.
Yeah, if that, I counted about 4 counter-attacks during that game.
Yeah, that game was not, that game was far from our best.
No, yeah, and this, again, I know that it was a very young team, 5 Canteranos, Augusto making his return to the team, which it was great to see him. First competitive game in 13 months. Awesome that he got out there, not only that, but he got all 90 minutes, which that's huge. And hopefully we'll see more of him this weekend and in the coming weeks, especially as Atleti have a lot of important games. But
yeah, that was the biggest positive from that game against Celta. And again, just for the listeners, I'm just merely identifying our game plan and strategy.
Right.
I'm not saying that we executed the strategy well.
Right.
In all cases. But against Celta, we were mostly playing on the counter, but we were horrible at it.
Yes. Bluntly, yes. But with this lineup, and at any rate, no matter who you put out there, you got to beat a third division team, which, you know, is what Elche are. Even though they were in La Liga 2 years ago, they're now a third division team. So, big picture, what does this result say about Atletico and where they're at right now? I think there's a lack of confidence, but I'm curious as to your thoughts as to what this game says in the bigger picture.
It definitely is a lack of confidence, especially in the case of scoring goals when we can't do it in consecutive games. It just goes back to the way Simeone and Saul have been talking about this problem. They have an anxiety about it, and I think they're going on pitches, and if it happens again, if it happens against Villarreal, you're going to see players get frustrated. And when you see players get frustrated, that's when focus is going to drop. So it could lead to problems, or it could not. I mean, against Barcelona for 60 minutes, we made Barcelona look like a team that didn't even know how to build up a play. So
yeah, and then you have this draw at third division Elche.
Personally, I think if we came out with our strongest 11, I think we would have won this game.
I mean, certainly it probably would have been 4 or 5-1, but you know, horseshoes and hand grenades.
But no, this result doesn't make anything better. But at the same time, if you take away our lack of efficiency in front of goal and judge us on other things, we're still a top side. We're still a team that gives a lot of opponents headaches, and we're not in the worst position. We just got to put the ball in the back of the net, and I think everything else is going to take care of itself, because that's our only weakness right now, and it's hurt us, and it might cost us getting to the UCL knockout stages, but we're still a team that is very good.
I'm all on board the Europa League hype train. All aboard.
That's all. I think it was Uwe McTier that was like,
yeah,
Borussia Dortmund. These things that I'm looking forward to the Borussia Dortmund Atletico Madrid Europa final.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. It's May 16. Circle that date. But anyway, we'll talk about the Champions League depression later on. It's difficult right now because, yes, Atletico are unbeaten in La Liga through 9 weeks, which is based on how they played for a lot of the season, which is pretty amazing. They're only lost this season. Dermot Corrigan tweeted this, and it's a good reminder for our listeners that Atletico's only loss this season came on the last kick of the game against Chelsea. So Atletico could very easily be unbeaten at the end of October, just like they were last season, just if not for that Chelsea goal. But do you take an optimistic line to say, well, even with all that that's happened, Atletico have only lost once this year, or are you a bit more, this could be so much better than it is? Like, I guess, how surprised are you that Atletico, without any new signings this summer, are performing like this so far this season?
I think if you're judging off of expectation and results, okay, we're unbeaten in La Liga, but that doesn't make a difference because we might not even make it to the UCL knockout stages. Mm-hmm. We're not scoring, so that's costing us big time. Like, yeah, it's being unbeaten in La Liga is good, but it's hurting us. But if you look at the big picture, there's multiple things that are causing these subpar performances for Atletico Madrid, and it's the scoring problem. It is perhaps we're predictable in attack. I think that's another thing that is
definitely
underspoken with Atletico right now. Perhaps players are maybe not identifying with Simeone's methods as in years past. I think that could. Well, I think while they're still unified, I think the players may not be enthusiastic about the style of play. And I honestly think if you put Diego Costa in Griezmann's position for the chances he's had in the past couple of games, I think we win all the games.
Hmm.
And we could maybe transition later on the show between who's the better player, Griezmann or Diego Costa?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We can address that right now, now that you brought it up. I mean, we talked about Griezmann on the last couple podcasts where, you know, his return this season is not very impressive. 3 goals in 10 games. He didn't play against Elche. He got the day off, but he's going to start against Villarreal. But you look at his goal return, and you could say, well, he's having a crap season. You know, he's overrated. He's this, he's that, he's that, he's this. But do you think, I'll ask you this now, do you think Simeone's tactics are like actively hurting Griezmann, or is it more Griezmann's just not playing up to his potential?
No, I don't think the tactics are hurting Griezmann, because if you look at the 15-16 season and majority of last season, Griezmann got the job done. And when you have a player that enters the final third, has chances, and doesn't score, it's his fault, because by that point, you know, it's the player's physical. It's his shot that gets it done, not the tactics. The tactics got him to the final third, and now he has to do his job.
Sure.
You know, it's tactics don't win you a match. Tactics and player execution win you a match. So, no, I don't think Simeone's tactics are hurting Griezmann. I think he's adapted to this system already, and it can't be an excuse. Hypothetically, if it is one, I don't think it's justified. I think Griezmann can crumble under pressure. I think Griezmann, compared to other strikers, doesn't do well with being the face of the team.
Mm.
I think Diego Costa loves being the face of the team.
You could say that, yeah.
I think Diego Costa loves stepping onto the pitch and having the pressure on him and the challenge being the pressure. I think he loves overcoming that pressure and relishes all the physicality and the controversy on the pitch. I think he loves all that stuff, and I think he actually performs better if you put that pressure on him. So in that regard, I think Diego Costa, for me, if I wanted a player, if there was five chances on net and you had to choose between Diego Costa or Antoine Griezmann, based on recent form, I think you'd have to, and history, because Diego Costa is not playing, I think you'd have to go with Diego Costa. I think that would be the smart choice.
Yeah, you're not the first person to hop on this podcast and say Griezmann maybe has... maybe he's not a flat track bully, but he has the issues with being the guy and stepping up under pressure. We've seen it before.
Certainly been that way with France. It's a similar situation.
Yeah, we've seen it before for both club and country. You know, he didn't score in the Euro 2016 final. He didn't. You know, netted only a penalty against Madrid in the semifinals last season. Costa has the track record. Costa has the knowledge of Simeone and his system, and his relationship with Simeone is so strong that he will like run through a brick wall for him, and that's the kind of guy that you want in this team, and that is what made him so attractive and why Atletico went all out to get him. And we don't need to rehash that saga because it drove me crazy all summer, but the point is that if that is the criteria, then I think Costa, even though he's a little older now, he's still in his prime. Hopefully when he steps in January, it'll be a seamless transition because Atletico are going to need it. Whether they're in Champions League or Europa League, whether they're still in the top three in La Liga or not, they're going to need him to start firing. And they're going to need him to find chemistry with Griezmann or whoever.
Yeah, absolutely. With that said, Griezmann is still an immense talent.
Oh, absolutely.
He's still a player that has produced goals in big games. Let's just get the record straight. But pressure can come in all different forms. Pressure can come in the big games, and pressure can come when results are not going your way, and then you get chances against lesser sides, or results are not going your way, and you need chances to get us out of a rut. That's also pressure, and Griezmann has been failing in that regard.
Yeah.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, gotcha. So results have not been going Atleti's way. Results up until midweek were very much going Villarreal's way. Villarreal actually lost their Copa del Rey match against Ponferradina. They lost 1-0. However, the second leg is going to be at La Cerámica, or whatever they're calling it now. I think is it La Cerámica, or I think it's got a sponsor's name attached to it now.
God, I forget. I should know this. Yeah, there is I'm pretty sure there is a sponsorship, but I just can't remember.
Yeah. But at any rate, yeah, Villarreal actually lost. So if you think what Atletico did at Elche was bad, Villarreal actually lost their first leg of their Copa del Rey tie. But
yeah, that was surprising considering they've won all three of their last La Liga matches.
Yeah, they've been in excellent form since Fran Escriba's departure. They smacked Eibar 3-0. They went to Girona and won. Difficult ground to win in, as Atletico know. They smacked Las Palmas last weekend, and now they travel to Atletico. And Villarreal, over the last three seasons, have only lost once to Atletico. In 2014-15, they notched a 1-0 win at the Calderon before Atletico went to El Madrigal at that time and got a 1-0 win of their own. 2015-16, Villarreal beat Atletico 1-0 at home, drew a goalless draw away. And then last season, two wins. 3-0 at home, 1-0 at the Calderon. So Atletico have not had very much success against Villarreal the last three seasons. And really, ever since Villarreal came back up, they have been very competitive against Atletico. And this is not really the opponent I would want to be facing if I need a quick 3 points. Villarreal are going to make it tough. They played very well under Javi Calleja.
Yeah, when we visited them last season, that was when, I think it was, Thiago had that mistake back?
Yep, that was when Simeone had put Thiago back in the lineup. Thiago made a mistake. He got hurt. Oblak got hurt. They both missed a bunch of time.
Yeah.
That was a fun day.
After that mistake, we actually became the better team. We just couldn't score. So it's not the end of the world, but Atletico have more than enough talent to beat Villarreal, but Villarreal are a very tricky side because, to me, if I had to choose one side that is almost identical in style, it is Villarreal. And this is a team that is very good defensively. When they want to get negative, Villarreal is one of the best teams at defending in Europe.
Yep.
And if they go to our stadium and they're trying to just soak up the pressure and hit us on the break, they can succeed at that. And as we all know, we're very bad at breaking down teams that are very good defensively like that, especially in that type of manner when they're putting like eight guys around the penalty area. So,
yeah, I think that's what Villarreal is going to do. I think they're just going to sit and wait and sit and defend. And because they have a guy like Bakambu on the counter, and Bakambu has been on fire lately. He has scored 6 goals in his last 3 games. He has 8-8 this season. Bruno hasn't even played yet for Villarreal. He's still out injured, and they haven't really missed a beat. They've been really impressive since Calleja took over. They've moved to more of a diamond formation, a little bit like what Real Madrid do. I'm not sure how much you've watched them, but their formation is different. It was more straight 4-4-2 under Escriba, but now there's a bit more flexibility to it.
I haven't watched much of them this season, but I know under Marcelino and under Fanascriba it was a very similar 4-4-2 to the one Atletico used. I know right now it's a bit of a different system, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do come out more defensive, looking to hit us on the counter, because they're also still good at, from the highlights I've seen, they're still good at that.
Yeah, they are, and they, again, are scoring loads of goals, although they aren't playing very good teams. I mean, they're playing 3 of the, I think, 5 worst teams in La Liga based on the table, so this will be a test for them as well to see if, it'll be a test to see if they're for real. It'll be a real benchmark for them. Who do you think the key man is going to be here? I've got Samu Castillejo. I'm a long-term Castillejo fan, as you know. Loved him when he was at Malaga. He's been showing out this season. Who else is going to be a guy you're going to be watching?
From both sides or just Villarreal?
For Villarreal, who's a danger man in your mind?
In this match, which with how I think it's going to play out, to me it's got to be Bakambu. We really got to prepare for him, for his runs, for his physicality, because he's a player, especially since we're not scoring, we may not have insurance goals. I think he's very capable of scoring at the Metropolitan.
Oh, absolutely. And don't forget about Carlos Bacca. I mean, he is still a thing. He's only scored a couple goals this season, but he's a guy with a proven record, as we know, at Sevilla, and hasn't really gotten off the ground yet. But they have a lot of depth in attack, and I think something else is going to be really important in this game is winning the battle of the midfield. Because this midfield for Villarreal is just stacked. You have Rodri in there, who's been an excellent Bruno replacement. Pablo Fornals, who came over from Malaga.
Oh, yeah.
He's been great since he moved to the middle, which is almost like it's his natural position. Manu Chigueros has been amazing as well. So this is going to be a game fought in the trenches. Manu
has been one of the most underrated midfielders in La Liga for absolutely the better half of this decade. He's been great.
He's only 26, and it's like we've been talking about him being underrated for like 6 years, you know, for like ever.
But he's a phenomenal midfielder. They also have Nicolas Insigne, who came off the bench against Las Palmas, and he is a decent player, and he's also, you know, a dangerous striker too. So yeah, just like you say, Villarreal, they have tremendous depth, and they're playing with a lot of confidence domestically. I think what happened in, you know, Copa del Rey, I think that was just maybe just a slight dip in focus. I mean, they only lost 1-0. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think they come back to the Primera and they're focused again.
Yeah, I would expect them to win that second leg by about 8-0, something like that. And they're gonna come back in La Liga, and I think they're gonna be up for this game. They always get up to play Atleti. It's strange, and they are one of the best teams equipped to beat Atleti in La Liga. They always are. And from that vantage point, it's going to be a difficult game because Atleti also have to think about Tuesday and Karabag on Tuesday, and talking about a must-win game. Atleti have got to win that game if they have any illusion whatsoever of proceeding to the knockouts and Champions League. How do you think Simeone is going to line up? Do you think there's going to be any rotations here? Any surprises?
No, I want him to go with Thomas Partey, because I think he's an immense talent that needs some good solid minutes this season. But no, I mean, barring the some of the injuries, you're gonna see your standard Atletico 11.
I think so too. There was some chatter in our comments at ITC about, you know, how Simeone should put everything for the Champions League and rotate against Villarreal. I don't really think Simeone can do that. You just have to throw your best guys out there back-to-back games and see where it goes. Villarreal game is big, Karabag game is probably bigger, but you need your top players for both. I agree, I think Tomas should start. I haven't been too impressed with how Gabby's played this season. I don't know what you thought of his performances, but I haven't been terribly impressed. His time's been inconsistent, to be fair. I think Jimenez should start. Yeah. I think he has the best chance of matching Bakambu's pace and his power. If I see Savage out there with Godin, I'm going to lose it. Because the pairing you want for this game.
Jimenez is the better option for Saturday.
Oh, no question, yeah. I think Godin and Jimenez should be the starting center-back pairing. It's going to be Juan Fran at right back, Felipe at left back, as usual. Looks like Koke is set to return. He missed the last couple games with muscular problems. That's great news, because I really had, I guess, underrated just how much Atleti were going to miss Koke when he was out. They just had zero control in midfield and in the passing game against Karabag and against Celta. They just had zero control.
Oh, yeah. In Celta, you definitely...
Oh, yeah.
Definitely could tell that we were lost without him. And it just goes to show that, well, we have been critical of him in certain matches, especially in the first leg of the UCL semifinal last season. Koke still has a purpose, and we're still, it's like Felipe Luis, you know, these guys might not be the biggest difference makers on the score sheet every single night, but we are much better in attack with both those guys.
Yeah, no question. Who do you think partners Griezmann?
Gosh, if I'm Simeone, I think I'm going to go with Gamairo. And I think he should go with Gamairo, honestly.
Yeah, I had Rob Walker on the podcast Monday, and we kind of discussed a theory he had about just riding the hot hand, quote-unquote. Just whoever is hot, just roll with them until they're not hot anymore. And Correa hasn't scored in 6 matches. He's looked lively, but he's not finding the net anymore. Gamero scored the only goal against Celta, and he has better chemistry with Griezmann than Correa does. So I would roll with Gamero as well, and
yeah,
just see what he gives you.
I agree with you, Anderson. I think Correa is more lively. I think Correa, with his certain skills and his individual flair, is a bit more dangerous and tricky for defenses. But to me, Gamairo is much more in tune with the system.
Yeah, I think Correa is better. I think he's more talented, more lively. But right now, he's not finding the net. And I think he's better than Gamero, but he's not finding the net right now. And in this game, no. You desperately need to score multiple goals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's an old adage. Sometimes you don't need the best players. You need the right players.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Atletico system right now, Gamero looks like he's fitting in well.
Yep, big goal against Salta, and hopefully we'll have a double feature here. It could also be Fernando Torres, is a record-breaking appearance for him. He tied Luis Aragonés, the legendary Luis Aragonés, in Atletico's all-time appearances list on Wednesday. He could surpass him if he comes on as a sub on Saturday with appearance number 369. That would be awesome for Torres.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no, go ahead.
What's your opinion on Fernando right now?
I think he's done as a top level footballer. That's my opinion. I think he's done. He
had a nutmeg against Elche. I don't know if you saw that.
He did, yeah. He created a couple chances. He looked pretty good, but that was also against the Segunda B side. I mean, watching Torres this season.
He did the nutmeg, and I just started laughing. I was like, on one hand, I'm happy, like, he's creating chances. Like, I haven't seen this Torres in forever. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, but it's against Elche. Right. Like, this is not going to happen in Champions League or La Liga.
And your heart just sank. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that feeling.
And then I was just like, yeah, Carlo, just don't get your hopes up. Torres coming back.
You can't be disappointed if you don't expect anything.
But it was just funny to see him. I mean, he burned the guy with that one, and it was just
It was
like,
so
wow.
Cheeky. I loved it.
El Nino's back.
Yeah, for at least a few split seconds he was. But watching him this season, he's gotten even slower. He's gotten even worse at running the channels. He just, I'm not sure what he offers anymore other than winning the occasional header, which Atletico do need someone to win headers, but you can't justify starting Torres or playing him for more than about 15 minutes because of that one skill.
He's definitely lost his first touch. Definitely lost his pace. I think his shooting accuracy is also a thing of the past. But he's still strong, as you say, with headers. He's still very strong. He's not a player that you can impose physically, you know, easily. So, judging on the qualities that we've discussed here, to me, there's really not much. I'd have to agree with you that he's done at this top level.
Yeah, he's and it's understandable. He's 33 years old, and you know his knees went away at the end of the start of the decade. So,
yep.
But he's also a valuable veteran presence, and I understand that. And it's important to have a character, an ambassador like him at the club. But I won't be unhappy if he doesn't get another contract. I don't think he's going to get one. I think he will be available on a free next summer. He'll probably go to Turkey. He'll come to the U.S. probably.
Yeah. I think
maybe Mexico.
I think Simeone knows that. I think he's just putting him in there for that veteran presence, and maybe maybe you get some goals here and there and crucial moments. I think mentally he's still there.
Yeah, he is.
I think mentally he's still there.
But everything else is just, it's not there anymore. And he's gotten older. It happens.
But he looks like he's 25.
He does. He's still beautiful. And he's just getting more and more tattoos every time I see him.
I look at him, I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, you still look like a baby.
He does. Unfortunately, he also kind of plays like one, too.
Yeah, he does play like one. He's useless, Jeremy. Let's call it what it is.
Your words, not mine. We have this guy in the Into the Calderon comments right now who is just, we call him Torres Guy in our group chat. He's just livid whenever we say anything negative about Fernando Torres. I'm like, have you been watching the games, or are you just here to, you know, be a troll?
Oh yeah, so, those.
Choose your words carefully.
I've had my fair share of comment hatred from my AtleticoFans.com columns.
Yeah.
It happens. Those are just funny to read.
Oh, yeah. You just got to let it roll off your back.
Yeah, no.
All right. You got a scoreline prediction for Villarreal?
God, I think the smart thing right now, based on recent form, it's going to be a 0-0 draw.
Oh, man. I'm going to pick 1-0 Villarreal.
Okay, that's not a bad result either.
Yeah, you're more positive than I am. I'll hope for a win. I could see an Atletico win. But then again, based on recent form, it'll be interesting. We'll see it.
It's definitely going to be a super difficult match. That's all I know.
It's going to be
both can agree on that.
Really challenging. Before we go, though, did you see this bit of news? Atleti, you're going to be training at the Calderon next week.
No, I missed that. What's going on there?
They're
going
to be training there ahead of the Carabag game on Tuesday.
Are they holding like a open training session or no?
No, they're going to be doing their normal pre-match training, just instead of at the Metropolitano, they're going to be doing it at the Calderon.
Oh, okay.
Which is really weird, because last time we checked, the Calderon's pitch had been torn up.
Yeah, that's why I was like, how?
So I mean, you could speculate that, hey, they're trying to get some of the old magic back, and you're trying to get some of that old spirit back since they left, but that's going to be pretty cool to see. Those will be some pretty cool images coming out of that training session.
I guess it could be down to maybe slight superstition.
Maybe. Maybe more than slight, but it'll still be cool. And if it gets an Atletico win, they'll probably do it again.
I think the players are like, the Vicente Calderon put a curse on us because we left her.
Yeah. The fans certainly believe that. That's for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Atleti have been unlucky this season so far. Very unlucky.
Yeah, and it's got to change. Hopefully it changes as soon as this weekend. That'd be pretty cool.
Have you heard about these Carrasco departure rumors?
Yeah, nothing really.
I mean, they've always been there.
Exactly.
I think he said he doesn't know what the future holds.
Well, he gave an interview to a Belgian paper earlier this week saying he didn't have any problems with Simeone. But for those who didn't catch these rumors, I think it was AS that ran a story on – really well-connected AS reporter ran a story on Carrasco and Gabby having some words during one of Atleti's recent draws. More than just words, they got into quite a spat. And Atletico's hierarchy is getting kind of tired of Carrasco's attitude, and that's understandable, but these rumors have always been around with Carrasco, and they've always gone away just as quickly as they've appeared. Give him a couple goals, and he'll be fine. I mean, but yeah, Carrasco's attitude has always been a problem. To me,
those reports are reliable because they've happened. They come at least once a season.
Yeah,
with his attitude. So I definitely see that, and I definitely know for near certainty that he has had some disagreements with Simeone involving his position.
Yeah. And there have been times when he's walked off the pitch really slow. He did it in Azerbaijan. He's kind of thrown strops on in the dugout. So yeah, his attitude's always been kind of a problem. But Simeone, at least for now, he's always overlooked it, and Carrasco's usually paid him back with pretty decent return. So I read a little bit into it, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he stuck around either. I mean, his release clause is $100 million, so yeah,
and they want to renew him.
Yeah, so I still would like to keep him because I still think he's a very talented player.
Definitely, and I think there's a lot more from him to come.
But also, just one last thing about Carrasco. To the listeners, just because a player tells a journalist that there's nothing wrong between him and the coach doesn't always make it true.
That is true. Yes. Absolutely. So, grain of salt.
Oftentimes, just the player being professional.
Grain of salt. Absolutely. Very good reminder. Those were the wise words of Carlo Valladares. You can follow Carlo on Twitter @C_V_news. You can follow me, Jeremy Barron, your host, @JBBarron, JBBERREN. Follow Into the Calderon @IntoTheCalderon. You can also like ITC on Facebook @Facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Colchonero Chat is powered by its patrons, in part. You can find out more about becoming a patron and all the awesome benefits that entails at patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. Benefits include early access to select episodes of the podcast. Monday's edition with Rob Walker will be an early access episode, so keep your eyes peeled for that one if you are a patron. You'll also get exclusive behind-the-scenes looks at the podcasting process. So just patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat is the place to be to learn all about that. Also, you can subscribe and listen to Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. Rob Walker will join the program for his Monday appearance. We'll hopefully be talking about an Atletico win against Villarreal. But until then, adios.